Welcome back to the Bait and Switch podcast. My name is Jim Martin, here again with my co-host, as always, Chris Beyer. We're here with a very special Bait and Switch podcast. Nobody knows this, but it's the first time on a Zoom call. Right now, we're in the middle of the COVID-19 lockdown, and so we decided to do a Zoom call with Jimmy Finley, coming back to us for the second time from Wauwatikee. How are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Great. It's good to see you.
Good. I got to think that our listeners will pick out that this is a Zoom podcast, don't you think, because of the voice quality?
No. It's going to be seamless. Completely seamless.
You are the engineer, James.
Yeah, right.
I expect nothing less.
That's right. So, you know, keeping the theme of COVID-19 a little bit, I guess, we were going to talk to you, Jimmy, a little bit about what it's like being the owner of a bar/restaurant. In these times and what things are like.
Let me take it back to the beginning. I was going to ask, in that week that things were shutting down, tell us about your hopes and your fears and how things developed in terms of the shutdown when it happened back in March.
Oh, gosh. At first, I was very optimistic that Wisconsin might hopefully see that we don't have to do a statewide shutdown. But as, you know, all the states around us and national sporting events and concerts and everything just started going that way, Pete, he just knew we were going to follow suit. So my optimism went from, hey, I think we'll operate at 50% capacity. Like, we're not going to get shut down completely. I think we'll be all right. And, you know, 2 months later now, the optimism is harder to come by because I think by May 26th, I think we might get pushed back again, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If you guys recall, the day Wisconsin had to shut down, I believe, was St. Patrick's Day. And by 5 p.m., everyone had to close, you know? So we just closed that day and just had a kind of an all-day meeting and just determined what how we were going to move forward. And luckily, we were able to do carryout. We've been doing carryout 6 nights a week every day since then. And even opened up our kitchen hours from noon to 9 p.m., so that's, you know, 9 hours of kitchen time daily instead of about that 6 or 6.5 we used to do beforehand.
Sure. Really, you're a bar, but you've really done a lot of focus on your food. You got the gluten-free stuff, you know, and you're really focused on really good, solid quality food. And if you didn't have that, you'd have nothing right now.
Correct. We're taking this time to rearrange our kitchen. We've done the back bar, you know, like where all the shelves are for your bottles, like your high-end bottles and stuff. We kind of redid that area. So we're doing all this cleaning. We're running food specials a lot during the week, and we're seeing what kind of new things, like a beef brisket sandwich, how that might go over.
I got one of those.
Hey, all right.
It's good. I like it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, we're experimenting with different kinds of sauces and different seafood options, and we at least get to use this time as a really good test period to see what's selling. We changed our black bean burger to a portobello sandwich. And we've had people go like, hey, when are you bringing this back? You know, we'll text them back on Facebook. We'll just say, it's on our menu right now. Yeah, just order online at wauwatikees.com. It's there. You know, get it any day.
Right. That's awesome.
Are you guys selling much, if any, alcohol?
We've put together a couple of drink packages. The thing that is a little difficult with that is legally, you can't mix a drink together and then just throw it in like some sort of container and slap a lid on it. It has to be a sealed container.
So how have the sales been for the food?
It is a little brutal.
Yeah.
Friday nights have just been bonkers. Having a fish fry is very beneficial, I think, to any Wisconsin restaurant.
For sure.
And, you know, if you got one close by, you know, it beats going out to like a neighboring community and taking that food home. So I think a lot of people in the community are very helpful in keeping us afloat. The thing is, if Fridays are really busy, and then the rest of the days of the week are pretty quiet, just doing some food orders here and there. But, you know, people have a lot of options. They have a lot of places they're probably trying to support. And, you know, a lot of people are taking this time to maybe eat a little healthier, maybe try some different things in their diet. So we've gotten a lot of really good positive feedback on our online orders. People saying, thank you so much for being open. You know, this is such a blessing that we still get to order out and get the gluten-free food we need, you know, either for ourselves or for our children that might have an allergy. And so it's great we're still there. And just didn't close the doors and say, you know, let's just take a break right now and see what happens in a couple months, where we've been really happy going to work every day, trying to get creative with our food menu. And we're going to be launching a new menu at some point after reopening.
So how are you guys getting the word out for this stuff? I mean, I know you got your Facebook page, but are you doing any other advertising or anything else?
Yeah, Facebook has to do with a lot of it. You know, we have our Facebook and Instagram pages. So we are getting a lot of new patrons, a lot of new people. Some people just discover that we just have food. You know, they think Tiki Bar. And we've talked about this last time over a year ago. It's like, you guys have food here? Great.
Yeah, what? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. We have for a long time now.
Yeah.
Is there any camaraderie with fellow bar and restaurant owners during this time? Have you guys been in contact with other people that run other bars and restaurants to see how they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. One that I have really enjoyed keeping in touch with is Walters, right down on 70th and North.
Oh, nice.
I had to pop in on them last Friday because we had a little miscommunication and we ran out of to-go bags. So we have such a great relationship with Walters that we went in and asked if we could borrow some to-go bags.
Yeah,
and they were really cool. They, you know, they gave us a few to get us by. And, you know, I told them I'd come in for some tacos this coming Thursday and drop off some wings for them.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Is there any anger building up among, you know, the restaurant and bar owning community about this lockdown? Are you guys getting frustrated?
I think there's a lot of frustration. You know, it just comes down to, you know, what do we hear a lot about business owners? You might have put your life savings into it. You might have worked so hard for years, really not earning much money, until you pay off debt, and all of a sudden you kind of invested in a career for yourself, you know. So for a lot of people like myself, it is very frustrating to take that kind of risk. And now for the last couple months, thinking every single day, are we going to survive? Are we going to survive? And most people, I believe, are really optimistic still that this is just something we have to get through. But I do really, my heart does go out to people that that need to support their family. You know, I'm really hoping in the next month or so, you know, safe reopens for more businesses start happening. I think private citizens, I think we can show just as well as the government can that we can be safe and that we know how to serve people safely and how to make them feel comfortable coming into our businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you thought about maybe give a discount on gift cards, as crazy as that is, you know, $50 gift card for $40 or something, and then you get some cash flow coming in at least?
Yeah, we have put on our website, you know, that gift cards are still available, and you don't need the physical gift card. You can order them, again, right through wawatikis.com, and, you know, the barcode or the scan that you would need would be right on your phone when you come in want to use it. Yeah, that might be something we have to look forward to a little bit more if we don't get this reopen date as planned, or if we're really limited to the amount of guests we can serve by May 26th. Mm-hmm. You know, as May continues and going into June, we might actually look at that a little closer and see if we can sell more gift cards at a discount.
What is your stated capacity there?
Our capacity, I believe, is 96 people.
96. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, it'd be nice if we got to reopen at a percentage, maybe like a 25% of our capacity, but I'm really worried it's just going to be 10 people tops. And then, you know, with the nice weather approaching, hopefully, will that be patio and indoors, or will there hopefully be a number of people per seating areas? And I think that's remains to be seen. Yeah. But
I saw a little thing on Sweden and what they're doing with their stuff, and you know, they have all these rules. You know, people can't sit more than three people together, and you know, they have places marked on the floor where the chairs have to stay, and maybe they can learn from something like that. It's tricky because, you know, I don't want to go down this COVID path too far because, you know, everybody's talking about it. You can talk about it all day, but everybody's got their opinions about this whole thing. I mean, in the whole government. So just depends on which person is in charge, where you live.
You know, like with my optimism always kind of going up and down, one place that I get optimistic again is I think a lot of restaurants are really going to have to push their to-go services, and if they have them, delivery services, because we really need people to keep ordering takeout while we can maybe only have 10 or 20 guests when we could could support 100 if we needed to.
Yeah. It's one thing to open, and it's another thing to have people have confidence to come in. There's going to be a certain number of people that just won't resume their normal activities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, we have to remember with some states that haven't closed and some that are reopening now, it's still up to the business if they feel safe opening or not, if they have the clientele that wants to come in, if they have the staff for it. Yeah, you know, hopefully the science is keeping up with what our economy needs to start doing again, so everyone does feel safe opening and guests and customers feel safe coming in.
Yep. So, hey, I wanted to ask you about, you know, going, I had the same question about collaborating with other bars and restaurants in the area and that kind of thing. And I was wondering, is that something you guys do normally, or is that just something that you guys kind of did because everybody's kind of in the same boat?
When it comes to local people, we keep in touch just kind of like on a local, you know, friendly level. But you can really get a lot of input just going online and seeing what restaurants are doing all over the country, actually. I think I think a big thing is restaurants doing family style dinners and then trying to get pre-orders for them. And we've been looking into that a little bit for maybe like a Saturday night family style dinner.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, there's things like that. I know a lot of businesses in the Milwaukee area, they're using this time to really focus on their social media presence and just really pushing deals out there, even if they're not making much money off of them, but still just to like really create good social media presence, like take great pictures of booze, you know, like liquor and drink packages, or take great pictures of their food and really get their, they have to keep their presence out there in people's minds, even if they're not getting the business they once were. They need that business to come back. So being in a community like Wauwatosa is nice because we're not a, Wauwatiki's not a restaurant that can hold 200 or 300 people. We don't have them nationwide or anything. We just got this fun little tiki bar in a great community, and we're mostly just, you know, relying on keeping that, that product good for people and experimenting with, you know, some different dishes and different food. And just, we really have to keep it, we got to keep it fresh for people because it's hard for restaurants right now to hold their entire menu with the product you have to buy. Sometimes these vendors are running out of product. Sometimes you have to buy things in bulk, and then you're just not going to sell enough of it, and it's going to spoil. So, you know, there's some items that you might not find on our website right now, but it's because it just costs too much and we don't want to waste it.
Right.
Is there any issues with the meat shortage involving your menu?
Yeah, well, hopefully, luckily, it's not hurting us yet. You know, we go to Restaurant Depot a lot to get a lot of our food products. And every time we go, they're out of something. You know, it might be might be like a pork roast one week, and then it might be a beef product next week. And so it's a little scary going in there, hoping that we can get what we need to keep serving people what they want. We track how well our items are doing. We're doing like really great business with sandwiches right now, especially being gluten-free. When people want to go out and get a sandwich and they really don't have a lot of choices, they're, you know, they kind of hope if they're in the mood for a sandwich, the restaurant they go to has a gluten-free bun option. Not all of them do. So right now we're buying buns like crazy. just hoping that that's why we're kind of doing more stuff with sandwiches like that beef brisket and that portobello sandwich I talked to you guys about earlier. People are really just in the mood for a good sandwich and fries.
This might be kind of a little bit of a morbid question, but as a result of the quarantine, there might be a number of businesses that don't survive, notably restaurants and bars. Have you ever given thought to that if you guys come out the other side healthy in a strange way, it might help your business?
Yeah. I mean, I think Pete and I are always in the business of wanting everyone to succeed. Right. You know, when we were the new kids on the block in East Tosa, we kind of had to show we're not here to take anything over or interrupt anybody or step on anyone's toes. We're just here to make the, you know, east side of Tosa more enjoyable and more options and just have more fun. And yeah, there are going to be places that might not survive this. We definitely hope we're not one of them. And it really shows how much creativity people need to do and how much we need to innovate at times to just kind of stay fun, stay popular, stay relevant. And at the same time, you know, keeping all of like your cleaning practices good and your food service good. And you always got to keep up on how good your product is.
Right.
As well as keeping up with the times.
I'm sure that the fact that you're in an area where there's a bunch of new bars, it's helpful to have other bars in the area so people go to that region to visit all the different area, all the different bars in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really don't know how the trends are going with how people decide what takeout they want and when they want it. But the area was getting really fun, especially with I might butcher the name, but Calucenza. Is that the restaurant that's the old Juniper 61?
Oh, okay. The new Italian place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were really picking up steam, and we were really loving that they were there because they were very similar to Juniper 61 in the fact that there's a great restaurant to go to right down the street from us. And, you know, maybe people start there for dinner or work their way back towards us or whatever direction they're going. Yep. We always love being that spot for dinner or for that pre-drink or after dinner drink. And, you know, we'll take any of that kind of business as long as someone else is getting it right in the area too.
Right. Is there anything else that might be a bright spot in this situation that you've seen? Like, oh, you know, we never would have thought about doing this thing that might continue on for after this whole thing is over. Any other bright spots you might see?
Well, you know, I do actually have an answer for you. It's something that Pete and I have talked about for a long time already, and that could be possibly bottling or canning some of our signature drinks.
Okay.
There's a company called Cutwater that hopefully some of your listeners are familiar with. They're doing a lot of cocktails in a can, and there's other companies like them that are doing cocktails in a can. And you know, we've been talking to some other companies and some other individuals, and just kind of getting our feet wet a little bit on what that might look like if we were to bottle or can some of our cocktails. And one of our little plans on the business model we have right now is it'd be great to have a couple more locations of Wawa Tiki to have this cocktail in a can and be selling them at our own locations. And then, you know, trying to go off with the golf courses or grocery stores or other bars and restaurants. So that's something that we've been talking about for a while now. And so it's not a COVID-19 related innovation, but it is something that we have a little more time to spend on now. Because we don't have to bust our butts right now as much as we used to.
Right. That sort of flows into another question I had, which is, have you guys been discussing anything you might do differently to prepare in case something like this happens again in the future?
Like, but, have them work on developing the vaccine or something?
No. To prepare your business for a situation where I might have to close it, you know, for a couple
local of Hawaiian shirt wearing dudes come up with the vaccine.
Right. That's what I'm expecting.
Microbiology.
I was really looking. That's what I thought all the optimism was about, but I guess, you know, maybe not.
No, you know, some more of that optimism, we have to look into it further, but I believe you can sell alcohol to go at your restaurant in Wauwatosa before midnight. So we might want to look into that a little bit too, like what the guidelines there are, you know, if selling like six packs to go or selling cocktails to go. We've touched on that just a little bit, Pete and I, because at Wawa Tiki, we don't get a lot of bar guests up until 2 a.m. or 2:30 on Fridays and Saturdays. We, you know, we have a great dinner rush, great cocktail after dinner rush. And by midnight, 1 o'clock, we start thinning out a little bit. So that might be something kind of good for us to look into is how we can promote, hey, you know, it's getting kind of late. You might want a little nightcap when you get home.
There you go.
Have this, try this. So we can sell this to you and you walk out the door, and we're not in the business of over-serving either. So if you got to get home and you feel like having a cocktail at home, we might look into that more too.
Sure.
You talked about the possibility of other locations. It seems there's three areas in Milwaukee that are kind of the hip places for a bar like yours. There's Tosa, there's the North Shore, say Shorewood, and then there's Bayview. Are those some of the areas you're looking at?
What about downtown? No, we always think of different locations, and we get people all the time taking the Wawa Tiki and turning it into, what about a Piwaka Tiki? What about a Mekwan Tiki? And you know, they try to come up with a funny name for it. We thought the best possibility could be, you know, like the Mad Tiki, do a Madison one. But I think it's very, very important just to keep the name Wawatiki, no matter where we might possibly open a second location. If we could go out of state, that would just be such a great talking point with people. It's like, why is this called Wawatiki? Where did this come from? How'd they come up with this? So
for branding purposes.
Yes, sure, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's hard to brand a branch style restaurant if they all have different names, right?
Right. We talked about that in the initial podcast about how, at least I feel, and I'm sure you do too, that really was a stroke of genius to come up with that name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys recall if Pete told you last time, but it was a guy out of Chicago that worked for our design company that came up with it. We just thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe we didn't think of this.
Yeah, right. That's brilliant. Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, the Nike logo, you've heard the story behind that, where some local guy in Oregon came up with that for $50, and they gave him that little swoosh. That Wawatiki name cost you guys $100, if I remember.
I think we paid the guy that designed it a little bit more than that, but we didn't have to pay him that much. And if it's all over the country someday, that contract is over with. He is not getting royalties.
Right. It's a good deal for you, yeah.
So, Jimmy, we've got a lot of good information here about what's going on here with the quarantine with you. Let's go ahead and wrap up the first half of the podcast. We'll take a little bit of a break, and we'll come back and do the second half. And so for our listeners, you'll get the second half next week. So let's take a little bit of a break. All right, guys?
Sounds good.
That sounds good to me.
Welcome back to the Bait and Switch podcast. This is Chris Beyer, as always, with my co-host, Jim Martin. And this is the second half of our interview with a restaurant entrepreneur, Jimmy Finley. Welcome back, Jimmy.
Ooh, thank you, guys. That was a very nice welcome back, too.
Appreciate that. Hey, I didn't get anything for mine. I guess I didn't do as good a job. That's right.
This is our first Zoom podcast, or the second half of our Zoom podcast. And we are in the midst of the 2020 coronavirus quarantine for all those of you listening in the future. It is May of 2020, and we're in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is currently under a lockdown from our governor through May 26th. And we're all hoping that conditions warrant that we're ready to open for a lot of businesses come May 26th, including Jimmy Finley and our other good friend Pete Panagos' business, the Wawatiki in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Yeah, open is such a relative word too, right? Like we were talking about earlier, you know, it does open mean we can have five people in there, or does open mean a third of capacity? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
hopefully it's something, right?
Yeah, one thing we were talking about, me and Jim, in anticipation of this podcast, we know that Jimmy and Jim here, the two Jims, know each other from baseball. They played in adult league baseball games here, and you guys both got a passion for baseball. So, Jim Martin, the co-host, tell me, what is Major League Baseball plan right now to get things going?
The owners just approved a proposal, actually, I think it was yesterday or maybe even today, about starting the season. They have all kinds of ideas what they want to do, and they're talking about starting around early July at some point. And there's a whole bunch of different details with payments to players and all this kind of stuff, and the players still have to agree to it. And that's why it's kind of up in the air. I think that probably the money is probably, if anything's going to hold it up, I think it's the money. But what they want to do is they want to have regional play. So they keep the National League and American League separate, but there's going to be a bunch of interleague games based on their geographic location. So the central teams will play the central teams. The eastern teams will play the eastern teams. The west will play the west. So I guess it's going to be three regions. And then they were going to expand the playoffs from, I think they said from 10 teams to 14 teams, 7 teams from each league. Again, trying to generate more revenue with more playoff games. But they did say they didn't want to extend the season into like November for a lot of reasons. I'm sure one is the weather. But they were also saying in case there's another spike of the virus, they didn't want to stop the season in the middle. You know, they wanted to, they're trying to do as many games as they can as soon as possible and get it over as quick as they can, but still play. Obviously no fans. And right. There's all kinds of ideas. I think, I don't think I heard anything specific from them about coaches on the field. There was talk about maybe no mound visits, you know, that kind of thing.
I was talking about this, the WNBA is going to start playing, and they're going to play with no fans, so it's going to be no different than usual.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, shoot. I shouldn't
have laughed at that one. Anyway, I'm going to call you Mr. Finley here because we got Jim and Jimmy again here. So, Mr. Right. Finley here, how badly are you itching for the season to start?
Ooh, I am really wanting the season to start. I was going to ask Jimmy Martin if they're pretty confident of a July 4th start and if they have kind of an expectation of how many games the regular season is going to be. Do you know any of those details yet, Martin?
I think that's what they're shooting for, would be July 4th with like a mini spring training in June where they wouldn't play any games and just be, you know, getting back in shape, warming up and all that kind of stuff. And I think they said it was going to be 80 or 82 games. So basically like half a season, I guess.
Okay. As far as Pete's in my season, the other owner of Wawatiki, we play in Rock League baseball in Franklin. And we have a start date of June 1st. We all kind of feel there's a 50-50 shot of that actually happening. And, you know, we're really hoping it is. We don't care if there's any fans there or not because it's usually just ball players' kids that they have to kind of babysit while playing baseball. So, yeah, we're really hoping that June 1st start. We'll see if
– you know, one thing is, at first base, you're probably going to have fewer pickoff plays because you got to maintain social distancing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, we don't have to have any new rules like you can't steal anymore or something like that. Because
I was talking with I'll call him J Mart here. We got the two Jimmies, J Mart, about the sign stealing controversy. And I'm not as steeped in baseball knowledge as you two, but this whole sign stealing thing, I don't get it because they've been letting people steal bases for years. So why is this such a big deal all of a sudden?
Signs all of a sudden, right.
Maybe the Houston Astros were onto something just doing video and funneling that video down to the tunnel and they like bang on a garbage can to tell the hitter what's coming.
I said to Jim Martin here that why not just let people have video and steal signs all the time? Why not? Just let it go because teams, I'm sure, have been stealing signs forever. So just make it legal.
But what's the extent? What's the extent, Chris? Do they get to have video recording from center field and then, you know,
yeah,
mapping into the dugout? And
yeah, yes, yes. And what people have to do, they have to adapt and they got to come up with signs that are unbreakable.
Ooh. Do you have any suggestions for that?
Yeah, though? Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, a series of hand gestures and they, you know, people have to figure out what they're doing. Yeah,
they
had
that already. And the thing is, they are stealing signs, but the only time you could really relay those signs back to a batter is if there's a guy on second base, usually. Right. Otherwise, if you don't have anybody on second, this batter's not going to be able to. And now this way, it was like just every batter
had these signs. Everybody has access to a garbage can, right?
That's a good point.
Wait, Chris, try this one out for size. I think I know what Chris was getting at, Jimmy Martin. All right, if you guys have ever played Texas Hold'em before, if you've ever played poker with people,
yep.
I can't stand when my opponent's like, well, I got two kings underneath, so if you can beat them, you might as well bet.
Right.
You know, like that, that's not like a real – that's not like a gentleman's bluff to me, you know? That's just like, I'm telling you I have it, and now do you trust me or not? So what if pitchers just go, hey, I'm throwing you a curveball, see if you can hit it.
Oh, there you go.
But it might be a fastball.
Right. Or the catcher just tells him, fastball, curveball. Yeah, you don't know. Yeah. Right.
The other thing I was thinking about is a lot of times in these games that are going to be coming up, a lot of times they'll have some celebrity or local politician that will throw out the first pitch. What I think is that managers should pull those people quicker because some of these politicians get lit up and they need to
pull. Oh, they absolutely do. They can't even get to the plate most times.
Yeah, if you got Mayor Barrett out there and he throws some 40-mile-an-hour pitch, you got to go to your pen quicker.
Yeah, some lollipop? Come on, guy. Come on, bring it.
Yeah, we need some really good pitching that can really go deep into the game because we got a social distance, right? So why do you put a guy like Barrett in there just for one pitch?
Yeah, he can't even do that anymore, can you? Don't they got to face three batters now? So I don't know what we're going to do with our mayor now. Yeah. What are we going to do now?
Yeah, I think that these celebrities, these local people, should have to pitch a half inning, at least.
At least, sure. At least three batters, yeah.
That makes it more interesting, right?
They might as well just let Jimmy Martin and I just go throw a few innings professionally.
True. Yeah, right. Sure, why not? God help our third baseman, but, you know, whatever.
God help the fans out in left field. They're going to get bullets at them.
Right, right. They better extend that netting, extend that all the way down to the foul pole, because they'll be coming in about 150 miles an hour at everybody.
Oh, yeah, just coming in hot.
You know, you guys are used to fielding ground balls coming at you fast. I'm not a big fan of sitting at the hot corner. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm in center field, I think everything coming at me is a comebacker. It seems too quick.
Hang out.
I'm ducking when that thing comes out.
Right.
Well, I've seen Jimmy Martin take a couple of comebackers, and he defended his position pretty well. But, Chris, I'm like you. I play more center field. And luckily, after 20 years, I've been pretty used to that position. So anything coming out to me, I feel like I have a lot of time to adjust to a ball. And, you know, besides these pitchers and infielders that really have to react on instinct. So that's why I'm glad I'm a God-given lefty, because I don't belong anywhere but the outfield, which is good for me.
What is the least glamorous position on a baseball team and the most glamorous position? I got to say right field for least glamorous. That's always...
If you don't know the game, I think you're right. But at least right field's got the best arm.
This is a discussion between amateur ball and professional ball, right, Jim?
Yep, that is
true. Yeah, if a guy like Puig out on the Dodgers or whoever he plays for now, or Cincinnati, you just want to see him just unleash that cannon. But, yeah, in little league and in adult league, sometimes you're kind of hiding people out and right too. So.
Right, and then the glamour, what, shortstop, pitcher? Yeah. What do you think?
It's got to be
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tie for first and second, right, Jimmy? Yeah. Shortstop and pitcher.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah. A lot of egos have to fill those positions, and they have to be good egos. They have to know they can do the job, and then they have to prove it.
Yeah, there's a lot of responsibility in those positions too. That's the key, you know. So you gotta you're putting a guy there that you want to do, who plays really well because he's got so much to do. That's the whole reason there.
First base, they hide people at first base, right? That's another.
Yeah, they put guys who don't move very well at first base because there's not a lot of guys have gotten slower in their old age.
Yeah, softball, you can definitely hide guys at first a little easier than hardball. These hardball players, they have to be able to pick a lot of balls throwing them out of the dirt.
Yep,
and if you have to be agile still to do that. A lot of guys just don't have the agility to be stretching and moving around and picking balls out of the dirt and jumping to get if they need to.
When I played, they hid me at equipment manager.
Yeah, you can definitely hide a player there,
That's probably a little dangerous for you, Chris.
Backstraps. Yeah, there's a lot of...
He handles the bats and the gloves and
a
stuff.
A little bad boy action.
Right.
I'm going to get out of the restaurant industry someday, and I'm going to go work for the Brewers, and I'm going to work my way up from, like, bat boy to locker room attendant and just see where it goes from there.
All the way to GM? Sure.
Maybe not that far. I don't want that kind of responsibility.
Okay.
Yeah, they got those guys on the on-deck circle swinging two bats, right? Why not just go out to the bat with two bats? You know, just keep the second bat and swing two bats when they're pitching to you. Is that legal?
It might be someday.
You know,
they're gonna have to spruce up these games with no fans, so they're gonna have to do some fun stuff for us for entertainment value.
Yeah, you know, maybe they could make it. Each strike is worth two strikes. Then, right? You swing and miss. You swung two bats. It's two strikes.
Yeah, you get the benefit of the other bat, but then, you know, there's a downside, too.
Sure. Yeah. Or what if they made, like, a Fat Albert bat? Remember those bats that were, like, skinny handles and these giant heads on them?
That we started with when we were, like, 2 years old. Yeah.
Exactly, right. Make those a bat great. Like that.
Keep the donut on there. Swing with the donut on. You might get some unpredictable ground balls, right? That's something.
Sure you would.
You guys are trapped to tradition. I'm not. I'm thinking outside the box.
It's a good point.
Outside the batter's box, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I mean, some new sports might come out of this whole shutdown. We might see some just new, weird, crazy sport that all of a sudden takes the country by storm.
Theo's been watching a lot of the marble racing.
That's a big thing. I'm a big proponent of the marble racing.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I got another question again for you baseball aficionados, you guys that know a lot. I was going to ask you what your favorite inning was. I'll back out of this. I'll take the fifth, and I'll let you guys go. The seventh inning stretch, right? You got that. You got the sausage. When does the sausage run? What is that? What inning is that?
That's mid-sixth, I think
sixth,
right, James?
Yeah, I think it's sixth. I think it's the sixth inning,
A lot of ball players, especially, we have a lot of little weird things we do, little traditions and superstitions. And I feel like my best at bat almost always is my first at bat of the game. And so I love hitting in the first inning. And then obviously the ninth inning is great, you know, whether you're on offense or defense. You got to buckle down and get the job done. And so that's
a point I was going to say, which is statistically in Major League Baseball, the first inning has the most scoring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I looked up that stat, and generally first inning, maybe the second inning might be the second most common run scoring inning.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Jimmy, we see that a lot. Pitchers, like, quote-unquote, settle down by the second or third or whatever. So, yeah.
Right.
Jumping off to an early start is always good.
Yeah, might not be loosened up completely or whatever, you know. But, yeah.
The top of the ninth gets overshadowed by bottom of the ninth. A lot of good top of the ninths, right?
Yeah, especially now while we're watching replays of old games. Have you guys noticed they can't show the score and, like, the inning and stuff they're in? I was watching the Bill Hall 2006 Mother's Day walk-off. And I'm sitting there going, how long do I have to watch this until it's walk off? They're not showing the scores or inning or anything. I don't know if that's just something they don't.
Really?
Let me back this up. What was the guy's name?
Bill Hall.
He went to his mom's house and he just walked off.
Yeah.
He didn't wish him a happy Mother's Day. He just walked off.
Yeah. Mother's Day walk off. It's well known. Yeah. He's infamous for it. Yeah.
How did his mother take this?
It was kind of crappy on his part. Yeah. She started crying.
Yeah.
And they televised this. I don't think that's right.
You got to get ready.
Martin, you have to explain to Chris here what a walk-off is.
I think he knows.
I think he knows.
I think if I keep up with the bad jokes, Jimmy Finley's going to walk off the podcast here.
No, I have nothing else to do, guys. You forget. Yeah, right. I have nothing else to do.
He's stuck. Now. He's going to walk into the living room. That's it. I'm out of here.
But it's Tuesday. It's the slowest night at Wauwatikie. They don't need me. I'm just sitting at home hanging out. Talking to you guys.
Nice. Jimmy, J-Mart, we could do that. Once we have our best joke, we just do a walk-off. You know, get the best joke and a laugh and get the hell out of it.
It's the classic. Mic. Yeah, it's the classic Costanza, right? Go out on a high and just get out of there.
All right, that's it for me.
I got to go.
You know, you're in the bar business and they talk about, you know, a place being a sausage party. Well, they got the sausage run at the ballpark there.
I know, yeah. Fortunately, being a tiki bar, we have a lot of women frequent our establishment. But, yeah, I've heard of some sausage hangouts. If you want to see some local celebrities, there's some sausage hangouts. You're going to find Brat and Polish and Cinco and Hot Dog.
There you go.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I almost forgot Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Generally cheer for in the sausage run. I cheer for the Polish. Who do you cheer for?
I'm a Hot Dog.
I'm predominantly Bratwurst. I always cheer for Bratwurst just because I have since I was a kid, and I always go for him. Although nowadays when they do them all live, they've been doing them live for years now, you got to see like who's most agile. You got to see who's stretching, who's kind of, you know, jumping in the air a little bit, getting loose.
Right.
That person usually always wins.
Yeah. Did you ever go to the dog racing where the dog tracks were open? You know, it's kind of like you got to see which dog looks like he's alert, and you got to check him out beforehand. Otherwise, you know, you don't want to put your money on the wrong guy.
Oh, exactly.
Is there one costume that's more aerodynamic than the others?
I think the chorizo with the big hat, that's got to hurt him, right? He's got that big sombrero.
But yeah. Good. Maybe taller people in those costumes fare well, too, because there may be less drag against all that top part of the uniform, like not getting any use.
Yeah, are their knees more into the costume where now they can't run as much? They got to shuffle more. You know, if you're shorter, your knees are outside of the costume, you might be able to run a little bit better. I don't know.
If you're betting, you got to look and take all these things into account.
Oh, absolutely. I have. Yeah.
You know, we're talking about baseball. There's a famous baseball player from about 15 years ago, Michael Jordan. Have you guys been watching the Michael Jordan documentary? Remember he played for the White Sox. Are you watching that Jordan documentary?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I don't have ESPN as part of my cable package right now.
I think it'll show up on Netflix. I think it's going to be on there as well.
Yep. I hope it does because I steal Pete's account info for Netflix, so I have that.
You're being recorded, Jimmy.
That's fine. Everyone steals Netflix.
You share it. You just steal. Yeah.
Jordan, what was his nickname?
Air Jordan.
Air Jordan. And I was thinking of other nicknames. You got Dr. J. You think he was a GP or was he a specialist? What do you think?
A specialist.
A dunkologist, perhaps?
Absolutely, right.
What are the other nicknames?
Magic.
Magic. Magic Jordan. I mean, Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson, right.
No wonder he got into trouble with women.
Yeah.
Does Dr. J own a professional franchise yet, or is it just Magic?
I think
Jordan.
Maybe Dr. J went back into practice.
He's been in the scene for a while. Yeah, yeah.
We need him right now. We need him during this pandemic.
Yeah, he might be out there on the front line. We don't know. Yep.
I mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Does he have a nickname?
A-Rod, I think they call him, but stupid. I mean, they call everybody A-Rod who has the rod and the A. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you get all the A-Rods.
Favre said that he predicts now that Aaron Rodgers will not finish his career with the Packers because of this move.
I don't think that's surprising. The only thing that bothers me about what happened was that they actually traded up to get this guy.
Yeah, but, you know, Jimmy, one of the issues might be that as fans, we're always like, geez, you know, like pick up an awesome free agent, spend some money on someone. And now this last draft season could have been the best wide receiver draft of all time, and we don't get one. We don't take one in the first round. So I
agree with that.
You saw the stat where Aaron Rodgers has thrown like one pass to a first round draft pick, you know, quarterback. And I'm thinking, how come these guys can't get open?
Right. They're not good enough.
Yeah, to give our listeners a little bit of a visual here, Jimmy Finley, you got a little Aaron Rodgers look going on. Did people ever tell you look like Rodgers?
Well, the beard probably that I got going.
Yeah.
I don't get Rodgers quite a bit. I get Adam Scott a lot.
Okay.
He was on Parks and Rec.
I saw somebody the other day that reminded me of Pete. I forget who it was, some actor. Well, you know what? That kind of reminds me that Jim and your co-owner of the Wow Tiki, Pete, were on last season, season 2, I think episode 7. We got you back because Pete kind of dominated that one. So we're giving Jimmy a chance to shine here.
Yeah, I was going to ask if I could come forth with a little conspiracy theory and if there's any truth behind it.
All right, let's hear it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That first half of our first podcast, I think we all did a very nice job letting each other talk and get some good points in there. And the second half, I think Pete just took over. I was just kind of sitting there sipping on a cocktail that Chris so graciously gave me. I just kind of sat back and listened.
After we left, I was like, Jimmy's the one who wanted to come on the damn podcast, the darn podcast in the first place. So I sort of felt like that is our fault. I mean, we're supposed to be leading this conversation.
Hang on a second, though. Yeah. If you recall the first half, Pete would answer a question, but he may answer it as, I don't know, Jimmy, what do you think? So he would kind of give it over to me. The second half, he just took everything.
He said, you had your shot.
I remember Chris asking about baseball injuries. I start going on my knee injury. I'm in it for like 5 seconds, and it's over. Like Pete just started with something else that he inhaled him.
My shoulder. This,
You know, I watched a Jordan documentary. He was like Rodman on the rebound. He was elbowing you out, position on the question. Yeah, you were shut out.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jimmy, next time you got to bring it a little bit.
Yeah. His stories are great. It's just I've heard him too many times before.
Yeah, well, we brought you back for a Jimmy Finley dedicated two-part podcast here. Well, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Jimmy knows what we do. We count down 3, 2, 1, and then we do the music. So here we go. Three, two, one.
Music!
Go ahead and tell our listeners about what's going on here.
Well, it kind of feels like I've been a little bit out of the loop, but, you know, we still got our Facebook page going. We still got our baitandswitchpodcast.com. Check us out there. We got a feed to all of our podcasts, all our previous podcasts. Leave us comments on our Facebook page. Say hi. Share us around. We need just as much publicity as everybody else in this time. So thanks to everybody for listening, and that's about all I got. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you guys so much. Great talking to you again.
Join us next time on the Bait and Switch podcast when we talk to Monty Kirk, a recent survivor of COVID-19.